Hallelujah. Let this transition take place. Again, it was an honor today, and it's still an honor to have Kurt and Debbie Haltis with us, missionaries to the Dominican Republic, pastor, awesome man and woman of God, been a blessing to us, and we love you, and it's exciting. This is the first time I get to preach at him. I've heard him preach a couple times, and hallelujah. And the message is directly towards you tonight. No, just kidding.
We're going to take notes right now.
Hallelujah. But I pray that if everybody has a Bible, and if you don't have a Bible, slip up your hand, because I would like for us to just be together in unity in this word, so when we come to the end, that we're going to act according to God's word, and we're going to expect God to do everything according to his word. Hallelujah. Praise God. So if you need a Bible, slip up your hand. We got Bibles. Praise God. Dusty, I'm going to glue one to your arm. Everybody got one. You have any more Bibles? There's one laying over in the chair over here. Does anybody else need a Bible? There's one right here. All right. Well, we'll just give you this one. This will work. There you go. Praise God. If you're all with me, I want to begin tonight. I just want to set a little foundation for where the Lord is leading me. I was preparing working on a message and preparing a message, and I wasn't going to preach for like 3 weeks. Kurt and Debbie were this week, and then Chris was next week, and the Lord just kept prompting me on this word, and I think it's so valuable and important for this body, especially, you know, with the youth that just went to youth camp, and many of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Some were refired, and it's important that we build and fan what's already taken place. You know, God's at work around us, and it's so important for us to enter into where he's working and where he's laboring. And if we don't enter into where he's laboring, we over-labor ourselves, and we make it about us and not about him. And the Lord was just showing me something simple and easy. How many know God's word is simple and easy? Amen? So many times with our intellect, we try to complicate what Jesus made simple. And we don't have to complicate what he made simple. You know, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find the account of his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, okay? And, you know, that's the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But in Acts chapter 1, this is after Jesus had arose from the dead, and now he's walking with his disciples and the apostles, and he's giving them some final instructions. He's giving them the game plan. He's getting them set up for what's ready to come. You know, he's been walking with them. He's been teaching them. He's been mentoring them. And now all of a sudden, he's getting ready to go to the Father, and he's ready to hand off the job to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to come. And that's the church age where we are today. So if we begin in Acts chapter 1, let me get there, is where I'll start, and then we'll build to where we're going tonight. Amen. Acts chapter 1. Jesus is setting the game plan. Verse number Acts 1, 2 says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost have given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days in speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So we find he tells them to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they're endued with power on high. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. So as Jesus is giving them the game plan, now all of a sudden now Jesus is ascending to heaven in Acts chapter 1, and he's sending you and I the helper. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, is what does a move of God look like? The move of God shouldn't change. God gave us what the move of God should look like in His Word. What should the church look like? What should happen when we gather together in the house of God? You know, first off, we find there was an impartation. An impartation. So every time that we gather together in the house of God, the Holy Spirit wants to impart something in each and every one of our lives. The impartation they received was the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance in Acts chapter 2. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues. So that was the impartation that they were given. But God wants you to understand, in any move of God, in any church, the first thing you're going to face is confrontation. Every time there's a move of God and a move of the Spirit of God, there's going to be confrontation. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 12, the Word of God says, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, 'What meaneth this?' And others mocking said, 'These men are full of new wine.'" In other words, there were the critics. And I want you to know that any time that there's a move of God and God's moving in your hearts and lives, and this new gift that's been imparted into your hearts and lives, and you start operating in the gift of God, you're going to have some critics. Some people are going to criticize you. You're going to be confronted with adversity. Amen? Because not everyone understands what God's doing in you. So first the church sees the impartation. Then we find that after the impartation they had confrontation. But what did Peter do in the midst of confrontation? He brought them illumination. He referred them to the Word of God. He took them right back to the Word of God in verse 16. And I'm just building my foundation for where I'm going. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In other words, he took them back. He illuminated God's word. Not only in the midst of an impartation when God's getting ready to move are we going to have confrontation, but in the midst of this confrontation and when we're faced with critics, we need to illuminate the Word of God. It should always be around the Word of God. Things in this world may change, but His Word will not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He is not going to change. Methods and means might change, but His Word is steady. God is steady Eddie. He ain't all over the place. We serve a God of order. He's not a God of confusion. He's not a God of chaos. He's a God that does things simply in order. He's a God of order. You know, and when I saw this in the illumination, when they illuminated Jesus, then when they illuminated the word, then the next thing he did was he exalted Jesus. It was the impartation, the confrontation, the illumination, and now all of a sudden he's going to get the exaltation. He's going to exalt the name of Jesus. He said in verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." So anytime we have a church service, there should be impartation. We hope we don't have the confrontation, but we have the illumination. We have the exaltation. And then all of a sudden you have, in verse 38, you have the presentation. The presentation. "Then Peter said unto them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.'" Once they received the gospel message, then there was the acceptation. In other words, I'm just using the tations, okay? There was the acceptation in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And that didn't start there. After the acceptation, there was the continuation. In verse number 46, he says, "And they continue in daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So if we're looking for a move of God, and we're looking for God to move in this ministry, in our hearts and lives, and churches all around the world, God has set the format for us. It's simple and easy. This is what church should look like. Amen? He didn't write it over again. Paul wrote in different areas to bring order where there was confusion in churches, but what he gave, us the roadmap. He gave us the instructions of what a service should look like, what it should look like when we gather in the presence of God. But the Lord took me somewhere else that I want to speak to you tonight. I just want you to understand tonight that this is what the church looks like. This is what a move of God looks like. But I want to give you, I want to speak to some to give a revelation and understanding of a scripture that's tied in the middle here. And it's Acts chapter 2, 17 and 18. And that word says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your young men shall, and your old man shall dream dreams," excuse me. "And on my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Amen. This is where I want to focus your attention tonight for everyone in the house. And I want you to get a revelation, and I want you to get an understanding. And I believe God's going to do some wonderful things at the altar when we finish tonight. I believe some people are going to be filled with the Spirit, and some people are going to be refilled with the Spirit. I believe God's going to do something special if you are set up and prepared and ready to receive what God has for you. Tonight, the title of this evening's message is, "It Shall Come to Pass." It shall come to pass. The three things I want to share, if you're taking notes with me, with you tonight, is the Bible says you shall prophesy. You shall see visions. You shall have dreams. Amen? You shall. Look at the one next to you and say this. Everyone in the house is a son and daughter. When the prophet is speaking here, this is taking place. There's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He's bringing them revelation and understanding. He's not saying that this Joel thing's going to happen later. He's saying it's already happening. It's right now. And somebody think, well, only my sons and daughters. Why aren't my sons and daughters prophesying? Well, the Lord showed me something. See on my wrist, I have a watch. And the word watch has several meanings. One, it could be a timepiece. Two, it could be something I observe. Three, it could be a sentry duty. Four, it could be a time of a sentry duty. There's many definitions for the word watch. And when you look at the word prophecy in the Greek, there's more than one definition of the word. The word one, it means to predict future events like the major and minor prophets did in the Old Testament. It's to operate in the office of a prophet. But the one in which it's speaking here in Acts chapter 2, 17 says, speaking under the inspiration of God. That means everyone in the house that has the Holy Spirit can speak under the inspiration of God. This wasn't set for a prophetic office. This was set for everyone. Everyone in the upper room was filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues, and everyone that was gathered understood in their own language. It was a reverse of the Tower of Babel. When their languages was confounded, all of a sudden there was an unconfounding. All of a sudden everybody understood. In other words, God wants things to be done decently in order. So let's ask God's blessing upon the preaching and teaching of the word, and we'll see where the Lord wants to take us tonight. You with me? Amen. Amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful that you sent it here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do. So Lord, I thank you, Father God, that you declare that your word, and I believe it's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity I have to stand up and preach your word. And Lord, I pray that the words that proceed out of this mouth are your words and not mine. So Father God, I pray as Isaiah prayed of old, Father God, send the angel to the altar and take the tongs and take the coals and purify my lips, Father God, that the words that proceed out of my mouth will be edifying, that will exhort, that will comfort every hearer that's gathered in the house tonight. And when all is said and done, Lord, you'll receive the glory and the honor and the praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. First off, he says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So what he is talking about, what did he say? But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses. The Holy Ghost came, and all of a sudden, what were they doing? They were witnessing. They were sharing the mysteries of the gospel. Amen? You know, they just weren't talking. They were speaking under the inspiration of God. And God wants you to know, as his child, that you and I have the right to speak under the inspiration of God. Amen? And that we're all sons and daughters of the Most High God. Now, I want to build a little foundation here. So if you turn back with me to Matthew chapter 10, and we'll look at Jesus, when Jesus was teaching his apostles, he was giving them instructions. His instructions went and Matthew 10, verse number 7. He says, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Down in verse 16 says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Verse 20. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Amen. In other words, if it's just about us doing it, it won't accomplish what God wants to do. What we have to do is we have to just depend upon the Spirit of God to give us unction, to speak through us as vessels. Amen. And you know, that's where multiplication comes. Right? You know, God's not into addition. We've gone far past addition. God's into multiplication. He's ready to multiply some things. He didn't set these things in order and have these things in place just to play 1 + 1 = 2. Amen? Amen? Our God is a lot bigger than 1 + 1, okay? Our God can do exceedingly abundantly above what we ever expected or even ever thought he could do. He just blows my mind all the time. Amen? Amen? How about you? Does he blow your mind? Does he show you things that just knocks your socks off? You know, when we're looking at this, Jesus said in John chapter 7, turn with me to John chapter 7. Again, we're going to line with the word. Verse number 37. He said, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse number 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen? So when we look at that, what he's talking about, out of our belly is going to flow rivers of living water, that's going to bring life. I don't know. Water puts fires out. It doesn't stir them up. Water brings life to plant life. I mean, if we're flowing in the, we're going to speak joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. If we're operating in the Spirit of God, the fruits of the Spirit are operating in our lives. Amen? We're not going to buy into the deception of the adversary. So what the Lord was saying here is Jesus had not been glorified, but in our text tonight and in our lives, he has been glorified. He's glorified in you and he's glorified in me. Amen? Not only there, but he said in 1 Peter chapter 4. Jay used this scripture the other night when he spoke in verse number 10. He says, as every man have received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, when God, young people, when God poured his Spirit out in you and baptized you with the Holy Ghost, it was so it could come out. It wasn't just so it could stay in. If you don't let it come out, it'll just go away. You know, he's not going to leave you, but it's like when God gives you a gift, he wants you to operate in it. He wants you to move in it. He wants you to do something with it. It's not just about receiving a good feeling or jitters or shakes. It's about being equipped to do something for the kingdom of God. Paul said in Ephesians 6:19, he said that utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Amen? You know, that's what the Spirit, this is what's taking place in the day of Pentecost. God is baptizing them to be a witness for the kingdom of God.
Amen?
Amen? Amen? And all of a sudden, as they're sharing the gospel, men and women are coming to the Lord. All of a sudden, there's the first harvest was 3,000 souls. That's a pretty good church service. Amen? That's a good church service. So if the 120 was gathered together and there was 3,000, we should be able to reach somebody, shouldn't we? Because why? Because we have the Spirit of God. Because God has filled us with the Holy Spirit. And if God hasn't filled you with the Holy Spirit, He wants to. He desires for everyone to be filled with the Spirit. And the problem is, so many people have been filled with the Spirit early in their lives, and they didn't operate in it, and they didn't flow in it, and they were like a vessel that had cracks and leaks, and it leaked out. I know something about God. If you're not pouring out, He isn't pouring in. He isn't going to overfill you. I mean, He's going to give you what you're pouring out. He says for us to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And as God pours out His Spirit and pours His Spirit in us, He expects us to do something with it. Amen? Amen? All of a sudden, you know, I can just imagine being there in that day of Pentecost. Amen? Up in that upper room, and I could hear the complainers after a couple days. He ain't coming. He ain't going to do that. Ah, man, I ain't waiting. We got that. You know, they're there for 10 days. We can't wait 10 minutes. Hello? Come on. We've gotten so busy, we can't even wait a couple minutes for the Lord. And the Lord says, they that wait upon the Lord, He'll renew their strength. I don't know about you, but I'm a Philadelphia Eagle fan. And I love that scripture, that you'll mount up with wings as eagle, and you'll run and not grow weary, and you'll walk and not faint. Yeah. And it wasn't the Philadelphia Eagles. Forgive me, Lord. I don't want to get struck down in the middle of this congregation, you know. But what are you saying? There was something that took place, man. It wasn't just what happened inside of the people. It was what was coming out of them. And what was coming out of them was drawing others to it. Amen? You know, we sing the song, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Amen? Where's Barbara Judy when you need him? But he said, that your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And one of the things he said, he wants you to understand, get this. If you get nothing else tonight, get this. You are a son and a daughter. Every last one in the room is either a son or a daughter. Amen? So if he's saying your sons and daughters, that means us. And we've been looking for some, and some people said, well, this didn't come to pass because our sons and daughters aren't operating in the prophetic office and they're not doing this and that. That's out of context. That isn't what God was saying. He said to prophesy, to speak under the inspiration of God, the mystery of the gospel. Man, getting saved is easy. It isn't difficult. You know, we don't have to make it difficult. Jesus did all the work. Amen. We don't have to crawl on the cross, praise God. Hallelujah. All we have to do is share the love of God. Love them. Love people right where they're at. He said, I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your young men shall see visions. That means young men and women will see visions. Look at everybody in the room. Everyone in the room is young. Is anybody bedridden in the room? Then you're young. My wife and I have a saying, old age is always 20 years older than us.
I like
All right? So when we get 80, old age is going to be 100, man. But God wants you to get a vision. You know, the Bible says, without vision, the people perish. Vision that sees outwardly becomes aspiration. Vision that looks inwardly becomes inspiration. And faith that looks upwardly, vision that looks upwardly becomes faith. Amen? So, in other words, sometimes we've got to see what's not there. In other words, sort of like in 2 Kings chapter 6, the Syrian army is coming for Elijah. And Elijah's servant goes out. I'm just going to paraphrase. He goes outside, just woke up, he's stretching. Going outside, steps, he sees this army, of the Syrian army surrounding them. He goes back into the prophet Elijah. He says, hey, master, we have a problem. Elijah says, what's the problem? He says, we're surrounded by an army. And Elijah says, well, those that are for us are greater than those that are against us. And all of a sudden, I could see this servant saying, one. But in 2 Kings 6, 16 and 17, Elijah prayed. And he said, Lord, open the eyes. Oh, he looks so sad. Open the eyes of my servant. Lord, touch her face. Amen. Opened the eyes of her servant, and the Bible says he opened the eyes of his servant, and he saw the hills that surrounded the army of the Syrians was filled with horses and chariots of fire. And God wants you to see something. When God gives you a vision and puts a vision in your heart and you look outwardly and you're not seeing what you thought you should see, you have to trust God in his word. You have to ask God, open the eyes of my understanding, Lord. Let me see. You know, the Bible says, eye has not seen or ear heard, neither has entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he says, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. That wasn't speaking to us. That was speaking to the natural world. So when you get an outward vision, you get inspired by it. You know, and when God gives you a vision, you got to let it grow inside. You got to let it inspire you. Sort of like in John 4, 35, where Jesus says, say ye not, where there's 7 months and then come up the harvest? Look upon the fields, for they are white already to harvest. In other words, you've got to get it on the inside. Amen. And if you're walking and you're seeking a vision and a call of God on your life, you've got to see past the natural. You've got to look into the supernatural. You've got to believe God in his word. And every word of God is yes and amen. All the promises of God in him are what? Yes and amen. You see, so when God gives you vision, your outward is aspiration. Your inward's inspiration, but your upward. In other words, we keep our eyes on him. The Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen? If I saw it, I wouldn't need faith for it. And faith is what moves mountains. If you weren't here this morning, make sure and get the CD that Kurt spoke on this morning. He eloquently spoke on faith. It was awesome, you know? So we're talking about your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old man shall dream dreams. And what God was speaking to me there is this. You're never too old to be used by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you still have breath, God is not done. You know, when I was looking at that, he took me to Genesis 28. And Genesis 28, we find this story of Jacob. And Jacob is asleep and he's dreaming a dream. And in this dream, he saw the heavens opened up. And he saw the angels of the Lord ascending and descending off of a ladder to heaven. God wants you to know something as his child tonight. When Jesus said it was finished on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says the veil was torn from top to bottom, and we all have the right to go into the very presence of God. And God has given his angels charge over you and I. Hallelujah. In other words, this scripture, this one scripture, can come to life in our hearts and lives tonight. You know, what he is saying to us in closing tonight is simply this. I know that's early. We're going to go pray. And closing tonight, he's simply saying this. It has, past tense, come to pass. We're not waiting for it any longer. It's already here. That you shall prophesy. That you shall have visions. That you shall dream dreams. And he says on his servants and his handmaids, where he poured out, that means no matter how poor you are, it doesn't matter to God. If you're poor in the natural, you can be rich in the kingdom of God. Amen? So what the Lord was speaking to my heart tonight about is this. We have been given a gift from God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I believe if you have not been baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, let me say something. The Lord showed me something there too. The Bible says, and they began to speak in tongues. He didn't make them speak in tongues. God isn't going to make you do anything. But his word declares, and the book of Luke, 11:13, I think, it says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? God wants to pour this gift out. We have some young people that were filled with the Spirit. And I would like this to take place. If you would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, don't be ashamed. This is a family. We're the body of Christ. And if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, would you please come up? If you would like to receive the gift, God isn't going to make you have the gift. If you would like to receive the gift, please come. Don't be shy. There's others. Maybe you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you haven't been operating in it. You haven't been praying in the Spirit. Come. These young kids that were just baptized in the Spirit were just baptized in the Spirit for no reason. Now, I would like everyone that's baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues to gather behind them. Don't, you know, God ain't gonna force us on anybody either. If you don't want it, he ain't gonna give it to you. So, we'll start with here, and I want the youth.